The Mishnah said a din that if there's 100 group of witnesses and each one became Hazama, that means one group disqualifies all 100 groups. The Torah says you believe that group anyway. Okay, that's the Xerxes, because the Torah says you believe the last group. So Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda says, Istasis Hizu, that this group is a group of plotters, because if every group that comes, they disqualify, something's wrong. Okay? So the Gemara continues, and the Gemara asks, if this group is no good, because they're a bunch of plotters, they shouldn't be able to disqualify the first group. The Gemara says, the first group they disqualified. If one group keeps disqualifying all the Eidus, and says, you are with us, you are with us, you are with us. So Chum say, listen, you have to listen to the last group anyway. That's what the Torah says. The Rebbe says, no, that shows the guys are liars. Okay? So Gemara says, if they're liars, how can you do Hazam on the first group? How can you disqualify the first group? So the Gemara answers, Amar Rababu, Rababu said, Shekad Mavahargu. You're right. If they wouldn't do anything, Bezdin didn't kill the guy yet, so then you wouldn't do anything to him. But here is speaking that they killed the guy already. Meaning, Reuven and Shimon came and testified this guy murdered somebody. Okay? Bezdin killed him. Then they became Edom Zaymimin. So it's too late already. The first group was heard already. So Gemara says, but then my dava have it. So what was? What's the telling us that the Mishnah was done in error if Lepoel, it was done already? Allah Mirava Rava says, Allahachi Kamar, this is what the Gemara means. What the Gemara means is, Eina Lakatachas, if there was only one set that they killed based on the Hazama testimony, then Im Eina Lakatachas Nanegas, if there was only one group, then they're killed. If there's only one group, then they're killed. So the Gemara says, Ika Tvei, but if there's more than one group, Eina Rogim, then they don't get killed. So Daka the Gemara says, you're only believed for the first group, not for the other groups. But the Gemara asks, how can you say such a statement when it says, Bilvat Kamar? The Mishnah says, you only kill the first group. That means there are other groups too. So why does the Gemara say, you only kill the first group? So Gemara answers, Kasha. We don't know. No answer. But the Mefarshim explain that when the Gemara says, Kasha, that means we don't have an answer, but we don't refute it. When the Gemara says the word Tiyufta, then it's refuted. But the Gemara doesn't say Tiyufta. The Gemara says, Kasha, we taka don't understand. Why only the first group should get killed? In other words, the Gemara's question over here, Rabbi Yehuda says, this group is plotters, and you only kill the first group. So Gemara's question was, if it's the first group, and they're plotters, why should you even kill the first group? So first Gemara answered, because we killed them already. So Gemara says, if so, why should you listen to him? So the Gemara answers, no. The Rava answers, this is what it means. That if there's only one group, you kill that only group, only that group. But the Gemara says, when it says, Katri Shena Belvad, you only kill the first group, means that a lot of other groups were supposed to get killed. So Gemara says, it's a kasha. We don't know the answer to the question. What?
What do you do in the case if Edom Zaymimin were killed?
Yeah.
And then came a third group and said that the second one was Edom Zaymimin.
It's too late already.
It's too late?
Yeah, because they're killed. But the next mission we're going to learn that.
But what about Reuven now? Reuven wanted to kill Shimon. So that means now the first cut was right. So did he kill Shimon?
So you're going to kill Reuven, you mean? Reuven killed Shimon. You're going to kill him, yeah? Yeah, you're going to kill him. Because when you disqualified the second group, that means the first group was good.
Was right, yeah.
So then they testified Reuven killed Shimon, so you have to kill Reuven.
But okay, Kasha Zaman only goes on Reuven, not on the Edom that were killed.
Right. Then the Gemara says, the Gemara tells a story. There was a woman that Sai Sadi, they brought witnesses in a case. Okay, a woman had a court case, she brought witnesses. Vishtakut, and they were proven false. Not Azama, the Bezdin said they were liars. Isis Hada, she brought another group of witnesses. Vishtakut, and they were again proven false. Ozla Isis Hada, Achrinid La Yishtakut. Then she brought a third group of witnesses that Bezdin couldn't disqualify. That means the first group she brought Bezin disqualified. The second group she brought Bezin disqualified. The third group Bezin couldn't disqualify. Amar Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish says, Huchse kazu. Rabbi Reish Lakish said this lady is an established liar, established bringer of false witnesses, and even though the third group wasn't disqualified, you don't believe him anyway. You don't trust this woman at all. So Amar Reish Lakish. So Rabbi Elazar said to Reish Lakish, "Imhi huchzika, but if she's a liar, call yourself huchzika. Everybody's a liar. The witnesses came and testified, right? And they're not proven liars. How can you disqualify him because the lady lied? The lady brought one group that were liars, second group liars. So the third group is liars because the lady's a liar. Why aren't they good kosher witnesses?" And there was no answer. Now the Gemara continues the story. Zimne. One time they were sitting before Rabbi Yechanan. People were sitting before Rabbi Yechanan. A similar story came in front of Rabbi Yechanan. The lady brought one witnesses, disqualified, the second group disqualified, the third group were good. Amar Reish Lakish, so Reish Lakish says, Huchse kuzu, this lady is a liar, and therefore even the third group is no good. Exactly like we just learned. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan, not Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yechanan said, "Im huchzekuzu, call yisom yuchzeku. If she's a liar, but all the Jews liars. In other words, the group should still be good." So the Gemara says, "Hader chazi Rabbi Elazar bishus." So the Shlakish looked at Rabbi Elazar very angry, because Rabbi Elazar was the teacher of the student of Rabbi Yechanan. Yeah, that means when Rabbi Elazar said before to the Shlakish, if she's a liar, that means everybody's a liar. Wasn't his own. Rabbi Yechanan said it. But Rabbi Elazar like took the credit as if he said it. So the Reish Lakish got angry at him. He said, "What are you playing games with me?" Amalei. So Rabbi Reish Lakish said to Rabbi Elazar, "Shamis milimi bar nafcha." You heard from Reish Lakish. From Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan was called bar nafcha because his father was a blacksmith. Rabbi Yechanan's father was a blacksmith. So he used to call him Bar Nafcha, the son of a blacksmith. So the Shlokish said to Rabbi Elazar, "You heard it in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. He didn't tell me in his name." And he says, what did you do over here? Because if he said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, he would have accepted it more. He said, "Why did you take the credit yourself?" Like we're learning now between Mincha. You took the credit yourself. Why didn't you tell me? So the Gemara asks a different question now. Lema Reish Lakish tama Rabbi Yehuda. Do we say that the Reish Lakish holds like Rabbi Yehuda? Because what did Rabbi Yehuda say? That they're all liars, right? When one group keeps disqualifying another group, they all become liars. So the Reish Lakish, who said that this is a lying lady, and therefore we can't believe any witnesses she brings, holds like Rabbi Yehuda. And Lechera, Rabbi Yechanan Amik Rabbanan. And Rabbi Yechanan says, you look at each group separately, holding the Chachamim, that you look at each group separately. So should we say that Rabbi Yechanan and Shlakish are arguing in the same argument as Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? So why do you need two arguments for? Amir Achir Shlakish says no. Anod Amir Allah Chafil Rabban. I can hold even like the Chachamim, that by Edom Zaymim, they're all disqualified. Why do I say over here that they're a whole bunch of liars? Because Ad Kan Lakama Rabban and Hasam over there, you know why the Chachabim disqualify all the witnesses? The lack of the Kamahadir. Because there's nobody seeking out false witnesses, and therefore there's no proven pattern of dishonesty. Every group is coming just to disqualify the next, but you don't know one person that's constantly lying. In the case of Reish Lakish with Aval Hacha, you know this lady is lying because she brought one group which was liars, she brought a second group which was liars, so you see this lady is a liar. Over there by Edom Zaymimin, group 1, group 2, group 3, group 4, group 5, yeah? Nobody's saying everybody else is a liar, they're just saying what they testify. So you can't compare the two cases. And Rabbi Yechanan and Amalach, Rabbi Yechanan can tell you, I can hold even like the Rabbanan, that over there, they're all disqualified, and over here, they're all kosher. Why? I'm sorry, like Rabbi Yehuda says, they're all liars, I can hear say they're kosher. Why? Because Ad Kam they come at Rabbi Yehuda Hasam. You know where Rabbi Yehuda says is then that they're all liars. Are you telling me that these two witnesses were by these two people that they're disqualifying all of them? Every group is disqualifying the next group. What are everybody standing next to each other? But here, by the case of the woman, the third group knew the testimony, and the first two groups didn't know the testimony. So therefore you should disqualify the first group. Meaning that Rabbi Yochanan said very simply, in the case of the woman, we believe them. The last group. Why? Because maybe they know testimony, and the first two didn't. In other words, what's the mental thinking over here, so to speak? The lady had a court case. The lady knew she was right. She didn't have witnesses. But she knew she had somewhere witnesses. She just couldn't find them. So what did she try? She tried her luck. Group one, come. Bezin said, you're liars. Group two. But, Lepel, there were witnesses that are kosher. There are kosher witnesses. So when the third group finally comes, and the kosher witnesses, we say, fine, they're kosher witnesses. By the case of the Mishnah, one group is coming and disqualifying every group. You were with us, you were with us, you were with us, you were with us. Well, yeah, everybody was with them. Doesn't make sense. So over there, Rabbi Yehuda says, they're all liars. My disease is, hey, the group comes, you were with us, you were with us, you were with us, you were with us. How many people, the whole world is standing next to them? I mean, doesn't make sense. Yeah?
Group A comes and testifies, and then Group B comes and says that you were with us in Hawaii on this and this day.
Mm-hmm.
And then Group C comes and says to Group A that they were with us in Los Angeles. Could we believe Group B or C?
Then, probably what happens, these two group of witnesses cancel each other out and there's no witnesses. So the guy stays in the original testimony. In other words, two witnesses say you were in LA, two witnesses say you were in Hawaii. So they cancel each other out. Right? Hakosha. So therefore there's no witnesses. So now the first group stays as they are, being kosher. Because then it's not Tazama anymore, it's Hakosha. The two groups are not doing hazam against each other, they're doing hakosha. These two witnesses say you were in LA, these two witnesses say you were in Hawaii. So they cancel each other out, we have no witnesses. And that's it, and you go back to the original. Mm-hmm. That Reuven killed Shimon in LA.
That's connected to hazam.
It's not really, because the two witnesses, one against the other, is only hakosha. See, two witnesses say you lent them $100, two witnesses say you didn't lend $100. So you cancel each other out, there are no witnesses. Two witnesses say you're in LA, two witnesses say you're in Hawaii. No, so they cancel each other out. So you have no witnesses either way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you keep on the original mm-hmm. status quo, so to speak. Right. The original testimony. Mm-hmm. Okay. The next mission discusses the actual din of Azam itself. The Gemara, the Mishnah says, "Ein ha'edim zemim min daragim." The edim zemim don't get killed. Achi yigmer adin until the verdict was delivered, meaning two witnesses come to Beis Din and say Reuven killed Shimon. Right now, two other witnesses come and say, how could you two testify that Reuven killed Shimon? You guys were with us in Hawaii. The Mishnah is saying, if Beis Din didn't proclaim Reuven gets killed, there's no din of Azama. In order for Azama to happen, Reuven had to already paskin Reuven's getting killed. Then the din of Azama applies. But if two witnesses came and said, Reuven killed Shimon, then the other group said, Reuven was, you guys were with us in Hawaii, but Beis Din never made the decision about Reuven yet that he's chayiv misa. There's no hazama. Gemara is going to learn from a pasuk. Yep. there has to be a court decision that Reuven is guilty for his crime, then you can have Hazam. But if Beis Din never made the verdict, there's no Hazam. That's what the Mishnah is saying. Why? So the Gemara explains. Shai Tzedukim, Eimrim, the Tzedukim said, the people that didn't believe in the oral Torah said, Achi Yaharig. The Edom Zaymimim can only get killed if the guy is killed. If Reuven is actually killed. Why? Because they said, Nefesh Tachas Nefesh. Soul for a soul. Right? Mm-hmm. Soul for a soul. They killed Reuven wrongly, so then they get killed. But Amlem Chachamim, but the Chacham of Teira said to the Tzedukim, but the Tugma Teira says, Vasitzim, Malekva, Nemavale, Yasitzim, Lekashe Zomam, Lasis Lachiv, you do to them what they wanted to do. That means he's still alive. Variochiv Kayim. Right? Vim Kain, why does it say Nefesh Tachas Nefesh? So the Lachir, the Tzedukim are right. It says Nefesh Tachas Nefesh. Soul, oh, here's one. Soul for a soul. So the Gemara says, it teaches us an interesting din. That Yochol Mishor Shekib Leidusin Yerogu, the Pasuk Nefesh Tachas Nefesh teaches me the following. I would think that as soon as the witnesses testify, they can become Edim Zaymimin. So Talmud Leiman Nefesh Tachas Nefesh, Einam Narogim Achi Yigmar Adin, they don't get killed until they were actually ruled that Reuven gets killed. Meaning as follows. Seemingly there's a contradiction. One pasuk says, Nefesh Tachas Nefesh, a soul for a soul. A life for a life. That means if you didn't kill him yet, how could you kill him? That's simple meaning, right? But another pasuk says, what they wanted to do to the brother. Meaning they didn't kill him yet, it's only what they wanted to do to the brother. So how do you answer the contradiction of these two psukim? So the Chachamim learned the following. Edom Zaymimin, in order for the group to become disqualified, Beis Din had to make the decision on the guy that testifying against that he's guilty. But they couldn't kill the guy yet. That's when Edom Zaymimin happened. Meaning, if the guy was killed, there's no Edom Zaymimin. If the guy wasn't even delivered a verdict yet that he's guilty, you also don't kill him. Only if two witnesses testify Reuven killed Shimon, Beis Din paskined that Reuven is to get killed, then they became disqualified. That's when you killed those first group of witnesses. But if Reuven was killed already, or they didn't make the verdict yet that Reuven is to get killed, you don't do anything to the witnesses. That's a little nefesh tachas nefesh and kashizam masis la'achiv.
After the verdict, they
didn't
do the punishment.
Right away. Has to be the same day.
So how could, I mean, there's no time for another Edim to come and do it as well?
It has to be the same day. You can't leave it overnight. According to Torah law, the verdict and the punishment, there's no death row, like in England, in the secular system. A guy is sentenced to get killed. It takes him 10 years until they actually kill him. According to Torah, you have to kill him the same day the verdict comes out. Right. But from the time the verdict came out until they killed him, took time. It took a few hours. So in those few hours, Edom Zaymimim became Edom Zaymimim.
If not, they wouldn't become Edom.
Correct. If there was no verdict that he's guilty, or if they killed him already, there's no Edom Zaymimim. That's what the Mishnah is saying.
So there won't be that much chance that they would get caught.
Correct. A few hours. In fact, it says, the Tesis Yom Tov, and the Mishnah explains that once Beis Din says die, that you get killed, he's considered a dead man. So in reality, the Edom Zaymimim actually killed him, even though he wasn't killed yet. But the fact that Beis Din paskened death, he's considered a dead man. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you have Nefesh Tachas Nefesh.
Yeah.
This explains, by the way, another logic. The Chayr, how can you kill the Edom Zayim for something they didn't do? They didn't kill the guy. Why should they get killed if they didn't kill the guy? So there's the Kashizam Lasislach, what they planned to do to the brother, yeah? But Lapel, they didn't kill him.
Attempted murder.
Attempted murder. If attempted murder in Yiddishkeit, you don't get killed. Why should the Edom Zayim get killed? So this Mishnah is really explaining the logic. Because once Beis Din says guilty, it's like he's dead already. So them causing Beis Din to say guilty is like they killed the man. They didn't actually kill him. But it's enough to kill the Edom because of it. Even though Beis Din's going to change the verdict. But there's a din in Sanhedrin, in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. If a guy was paskin by Beis Din said he's getting the death penalty. And they're taking him out to the gallows to hang. They're taking him mamash to hang. And a guy comes and says, I have a schus for the guy. I have a lien, a proof that he's innocent. The din is you take him back and you start the trial all over again. The guy's on his way to the gallows. The thing's around his neck already, you know? And the guy comes running, I have a schus for the guy, you take him back. If Beis Din paskin innocent, and a guy comes after Beis Din says innocent, I have a proof that he's guilty, Beis Din doesn't listen. Only to save, Vitzilu, to save him, Beis Din will start the trial all over again, even if Beis Din already said he's dead. To kill him.
But the verse not, because it says,
huh?
If he says innocent, then guy says, I have a proof that he's chayav.
No, because there is a Vitzilu, the once Beis Din paskin innocent is innocent.
But Hashem will get him in
the... If he's guilty, Hashem will get him in Hashem's ways, the Gemara says. Yeah. But Lepoel, once Beis Din paskin, the guy has death, he's Edom Zayim may consider nefesh tachas nefesh. Yeah?
If someone says, I have a close friend, once he's already hung, or
if he's still alive,
yeah,
they take him off. Once he's dead, too late. They can't do tchias ha-meisim. But until he's killed, until he dies, they take him off.
I don't understand. Once he got killed, and then they become Edom Zayim.
You don't do anything. The Tzedukim said, yeah. The Tzedukim said, if he kills him, that's when you get killed. Right? The Beis Din killed him. But the Teres Kasher Zamam Lasis La'achiv. What you wanted to do, not what you did. So the Zegzeres HaKosuv, that the Edom Zayim only get killed if the guy wasn't killed yet. And also, if there was a Gemar Din, the Beis Din Paskin, the guy's going to get killed. If none of those two conditions happen, the Mishnah says, there's no Din of Edom Zayim.
But doesn't this encourage false loot?
Why?
Because the only chance that you're going to get caught is only a few hours between the Beis Din is going to do the verdict.
There's no choice. That's what the Torah says. Listen, Ben Seder de Meira, the whole Ben Seder de Meira, the rebellious son, can only happen in 3 months of his lifetime.
Which 3 months?
Between Bar Mitzvah and after, right after, mamish 3 months, the whole thing can happen. That's what he wants to be. Sorry, Mary, never happened. Because the Mitzvah of the details of this rebellious son, the parents sound exactly alike and they look alike. All the details the Gemara says is kamat impossible to happen. So one opinion, the Gemara says, Ben Seder Meir never happened. It can't be. The Rambam writes a whole lengthy thing that the whole Shaykh of Ben Seder Meir is only possible maybe 3 months, I think it is. Otherwise, it's not nothing. So Edom Zayim is the same thing. I mean, it sounds like Edom Zayim happened a million times a day. It didn't happen that often, Edom Zayim.
I'm imagining it in today's world, with all these false things that happen. So if you want to implement this law today...
Today you couldn't do it. We don't have capital punishment anyway. I mean, it's b'chal. There's no... By money, you could technically have it. By monetary laws. Like you said, if two people say you're chayiv money, and then they became disproven, so they would have to pay money. That could exist. But I've never heard of been a case of Aiden Zayman today in the world that they become disqualified like that. Uh-huh. Okay. People are going to say you were with us, and then it doesn't happen. Because most of the time, if it's a written loan document, it's not shaykh to be Adam Zayman. How did they sign the name if they weren't there? I mean, how do you sign your name? You can't sign your name if you're not there.
Right.
So it doesn't happen too much.
In the case of attempted murder.
No, you don't get killed.
I know. Okay.
If somebody wants to kill somebody, but they didn't, there's no attempted murder.
But Akash Baruch Hu is by Rashaim.
If a guy wants to shoot somebody, okay,
and it got deflected, the bullet,
and the gun didn't work, or the bullet got
hit a coin in his pocket,
whatever, it doesn't.
Yeah, you can't.
Even though he wanted to kill him, you don't do anything. He didn't kill him.
But Hashem is machshav it as if Marsham it is.
No, matzav Kadosh Baruch Hu matzav machshav lemaise, but. But in the Indian, it's like b'dini shemayim yochai for wanting to kill somebody. But Bezdin can't do something to somebody. If somebody wanted to be Mechal Shabbos, yeah, there's an oven on, and the guy takes bread on Shabbos and puts it in, and he's warned with Edom, you're not allowed to do it, and whatever, yeah? But before the bread bakes, the oven goes off. The oven goes off. He did mamish everything possible in Chilul Shabbos to get killed. He was warned he should get stoned. Bottom line is, it wasn't baked. Nothing happens. You wanted to be Mechalul Shabbos. It doesn't matter. The bottom line is, you didn't kill the guy. You went Mechalul Shabbos. There's no din of punishment.
Somebody else allowed to take it out?
Yeah, but he is a plasma.
Isn't testifying
not attempted murder, you're testifying something, you're saying something.
Yeah, but you want to kill him.
That's only words. If somebody says, I want to kill you, if somebody says, I want to kill you, it's not attempted murder.
It is. You attempted to murder somebody.
In Torah law, in Torah law, there's no attempted murder. That's what I'm saying. You don't get punished in Torah law for attempted murder. Torah, you get punished for what you do, not what you wanted to do.
What would they do to the false witness? Not that he became a business, but the false witness.
He would get Malchus.
Guess of, let's say he wanted.
He testified falsely, he'd get Malchus.
That's it.
Yeah.
Even though the guy got killed because of him.
Right. But they wouldn't kill him. Then there's another part that the Gemara, we're going to come up now with the Kavach Haimer that he quotes the Ramban with other people. If Bezdin, bottom line, Elikim, what's the Lashon over there in the Pasuk? Debishter is Bekerev Elikim Yishpeit. Yeah? Bekerev Elikim Yishpeit. God is present at every court case, especially capital punishment. And this is what the Gemara is mamish going into now, so that's why I'm giving an introduction to this Gemara anyway. We know the din is that if the Edom Zaymimim got killed, you don't do anything to the Edom Zaymimim. They don't get killed. If they wanted to kill him, then you kill the Edom Zaymimim. So normally the Gemara says it's a gzeres hakosov, it's illogical, like we're going to see, l'cheir is a kal v'chaymer. The Gemara is going to ask it's a kal v'chaymer, because if the guy is killed, you don't do anything to him. So then for sure, if he wasn't killed, you shouldn't do anything to him. And the opposite also goes. If he's not killed, you kill him. If he's killed for sure, you should kill him.
Right?
That makes sense. But the Gemara is, the logic behind it is as follows. God protects a Bezdin. Hashem gives, there's a siyata d'shmaya. There's a help from Hashem to a Bezdin. If Bezdin killed Reuven, It doesn't actually kill Reuven, because two witnesses said that he committed a murder, even though those witnesses are disqualified. But Beis Din did everything possible to check out the authenticity of the witnesses. And to their best of knowledge, the guy was true. Then later, witnesses came and said, you were with us in a why, right? The fact that Hashem allowed a Beis Din to kill somebody shows the guy was supposed to get killed. Hashem wouldn't let a Beis Din kill an innocent person. Hashem just doesn't let it happen. That Beis Din should kill an innocent. Beis Din is God's representatives. That a kosher Beis Din should kill somebody that's innocent, Hashem's not going to let it happen. So the fact that Beis Din killed Reuven shows Reuven was supposed to die anyway. That's why Hashem allowed Beis Din to kill him. Now, the one to do the witnesses, yes, they're liars, and they were no good, and they wanted to kill, but you can't say they killed an innocent person, because if Beis Din killed them, he can't be innocent. But if they wanted to kill Reuven, and Beis Din didn't kill him yet, they only made a verdict that he's guilty, so Lepel Beis Din didn't kill him, which means the guy's innocent. Now these people wanted to kill an innocent person, so Torah says kill them. But if the guy was killed already, obviously he's not innocent. Because how would Hashem let an innocent person die? But if the guy wasn't killed, that means he's innocent. So now these people wanted to kill an innocent person, you have to kill him. That's what...
So if they push him off the cliff and he survives, that shows that
it doesn't show the Edom were false. It shows that the guy that wanted to kill him didn't kill him.
Is that according to the Gemara what this says now?
No. This is the way the Rishonim explained it. The Rishonim explained this concept of, because simply the Gemara says it's a exercise of kosov.
Right.
In fact, okay, let's see the Gemara and say, no, that's a different din completely. Self-defense. Somebody kills you, kill him first.
Here it's Habal HaHorgecha.
No, that I do. Tana, we learned in a Braise, Berivi Eimer, Berivi says, and there's two interpretations. One interpretation is Berivi was his name, and another interpretation says Berivi is like a Rav, you know, like a title of respect. When 5b3. Got it? Top. Yeah? Okay. Berivi, Eimer Berivi says, Lehard go, if he wasn't killed, Naragim, then you kill him. But Hargu, if the guy was killed, ain't Naragim. Like we learned it. If he was killed already, you don't kill him. If he wasn't killed yet, then you kill him. Amir Aviv, so his father, Berivi's father, whoever that was, doesn't say who it was, said to him, Beni Lav Kavachemer who? Isn't it a Kavach HaEmer? That what? If they wanted to kill him, you kill him. If they killed him, for sure you should get killed. Right? It's against logic. Mm-hmm. Amalei said to his father, Limadaton Rabbeinu, you are teacher, taught us, Shein Einshin Min Adin. You can't kill somebody based on a Kavach HaEmer. This is a rule in Shas. And the Gemara is going to learn where we learn it out from. That's the next piece of Gemara right now. But the Gemara says a statement. You can't kill somebody because of logic. In other words, the Torah says you do to him what he wanted to do. Which means that if it was actually done, you don't kill him. Logic says it's a kavochem. What if he didn't want to kill him, you kill him. If he killed him, for sure you should kill him. You don't punish from a kavochem. Why? So the Mepharshim explained, besides the fact we learned it out from a pasuk, there's a logic behind it. What's the logic? Every person can make up their own Kavach HaEmer. Sometimes it's right, sometimes it might not be right. Who says your Kavach HaEmer is right? Maybe there's a reason to say the opposite. Gzeira Shava, here it says a word, there it says a word, that you can't make up on your own. That it was Kabbalah Mehar Sinai. Kavach HaEmer, the Gemara says, everybody can make their own Kavach HaEmer. So Kavach HaEmer is nice in learning, but to punish somebody through a Kavach HaEmer, how do you know you're right? That's the simple reason why it's not. Okay, now the Gemara says, Where do we know that ain ancient min adin? The Tanya, because we learned in a braise, it says in the Torah the following thing. If a man will marry his sister, bas aviv basime, whether it's his father's daughter or his mother's daughter. Okay? So now the Gemara says, ain li ala bas aviv shlei basime. Ubas ime shle bas aviv. Bas ime bas aviv minai. The Torah says a very strange pasuk. The Torah says, if a man marries his sister, either his father's daughter or his mother's daughter. I mean, you can have a sister from the father, you can have a sister from the mother. Right. Now, how do I know that if it's your real sister from father and mother, that you also get killed? The Torah says only your father's daughter or your mother's daughter. How do I know if he's your father and your mother's daughter? It means a whole sister, a complete sister, that you also get killed. Talmud Leimad, Eves Achei Sigila. There's an extra passage that says you lived with your sister. Right?
How do you get two different things?
You know what a half-sister is? Okay. A man and woman are married, and they have a kid. They get divorced, and they marry somebody else, and they have a kid, right? So that person is a half-sister, a half-brother. So the Torah says, if you marry your half-brother or your half-sister, you get killed. So the Gemara said, how do I know if you marry your whole sister, you know, your real sister? So the Gemara says, there's a pasuk. Advice achei segila. You married your sister. What's that? The question is, madach, a half-sister get killed, a whole sister for sure you get killed. Why does the Torah have to tell me a special pasuk that a whole sister you get killed? Why can't you learn out from a kal v'chaymer? So you learn out from there, you can't punish from a kal v'chaymer. What?
So basically the situation is that, so let's say you get, your parents get divorced, okay, then your father or mother marries someone who has another child, who has a kid already.
That's a stepsister.
Stepsister. So that's okay then. You can marry that person.
Yeah, technically. It says in Allah you shouldn't, because people don't know it's a stepsister. They might think it's your old sister, whatever. But that's not related to you.
Okay. But it's a half-brother, half-sister, you can't marry him.
No, it's a sister. But the Gemara is learning out that not only a half-sister you can't marry, a whole sister you can't marry. Because the Torah tells him. And the Brisa continues. If the Torah didn't say the last pasuk of Eisachei Sigila, wouldn't I learn it out from a kal v'chaymer? That imana shabasa v'shalei basime. If the Torah punishes you for a half-sister, or basime shalei basa v'r half-sister, bas aviv u'basime lekol shekein. For sure a whole sister you would get killed. Why does the Torah have to tell me an extra pasuk? Well, the Madat Torah teaches us ein ancient min adin. You can't punish from a din. Okay.
What happened to the child if they married accidentally?
What, a half-sister?
Yeah.
They get killed.
But if you didn't know?
Because you didn't know.
Shaygig, so it's a chatos, whatever.
No, but nothing happened to their children?
The mamzerim.
Oh, they're still mamzerim.
Sure. Because somebody didn't know doesn't make the kid not a mamzer. It only matters for punishment. If a man, if a lady said to a man, I'm single. A lady comes to town, she's single. No. And the man marries her. He doesn't know anything, he marries her. And then he finds out she was married to a man before. And she never had a divorce. Okay? The kids are mamzeidim, whether you like it or not. The kids are mamzeidim. I didn't know. Tough luck.
Now what happens then?
What do you mean what happens then? The kids are mamzeidim, they have to split.
They had kids.
Do mom Zaydim.
They can't marry any regular Jew. Okay.
Right.
That's tough.
It's very tough. What can you do about it? There's another explanation they bring down over here from the Smag, Sefer Mitzvahs Gedolos, that says, why ain't ancient men adin? Why can't you punish by a kal v'chaymer? So one reason we said, because it's human logic, maybe you made a mistake. Mm-hmm. He says another interesting reason. Death, punishment in Torah is kapara. It's forgiveness. That's what the punishment is. If you want to learn out a stricter punishment from a lesser punishment, then what if a half a sister you get killed, a whole sister for sure you should get killed. Yeah? Maybe that punishment's not enough. Maybe for half a sister, death is enough. Maybe for a whole sister, death is also not enough. You don't know. Maybe not. So you can't punish from a kal vachomer to say that if the lesser punishment gets this punishment, the stricter sin for sure should get the punishment. How do you know that punishment is good forgiveness for such a person? So you can't have learn out a kal vachomer to punish somebody. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Ein Shemaynu. We have established this concept as far as punishment goes, that you can punish, I'm sorry, the Brises continue about half a sister. Okay, we know that whole sister, we know that you get punished. Hazhara Minayin, how do I know that you're, because there's a rule in Torah, the Torah doesn't punish you if you're not, if the Torah doesn't say you can't do it. The Torah first has to tell you you can't do it, and then you can be punished. We don't find anywhere a whole sister being said that you can't do it. Only half sisters, the Torah says, don't do it. How do I know that the Torah is warning you that you can't even live with your whole complete sister? So he says, because it says in the Torah, Talmud Leimer, Erva Sacheischa, Basa Vicha Basimecha, Enli Abasa Aviv Shle Basimei. I would only know a half sister from the father. Or basi mishle basav or half a sister from the mother, basav v'basi meminayin. How do I know that you're warned in the Torah that you can't live with a sister from the same father and mother? Talmud Lamed the Torah says ervas bas eishes avicha, that the nakedness of this wife of your father, meledes avicha achos chehi, she is your sister. So the fact it says your sister includes a whole sister and a half a sister. Okay? And the Gemara says, Achala Yemad, Yeshli Din. Why do I need the warning from a Kavachemer? I mean, I have a Kavachemer. If you're not allowed to live with a half a sister, for a whole sister for sure you're not allowed to live with. Like he says, Maim is Orabas Ime Shle Basav, Vabasav Shle Basime. What if the Torah warns you you can't live with a half a sister? Bas aviv v'basim lekoshkin, a first full sister for sure you're not allowed to. Olamadita teaches us shem azinim in adin. You can't even forbid something on a kal v'chomer. Meaning, not only you can't punish on a kal v'chomer, you can't say it's a prohibition based on a kal v'chomer. From all these psukim of half sisters and whole sisters, the Torah is teaching us an interesting concept. You can't punish based on a kal v'chomer. And you can't prohibit something based on a kal vachomer. You need a complete, clear-cut pasuk in Chumash that it's forbidden. Mm-hmm. And otherwise it's not forbidden. Mm-hmm. Then the Gemara continues and says, this is going back to the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says that the only time you get killed, if the guy wasn't killed yet. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, what's with Malkus? How do I know that the same law refers to Malkus? L'moshe. If Reuven testified, if the two witnesses testify that Reuven ate chazer, two witnesses come to Beis Din and they say, we saw Reuven eat chazer Monday morning in LA. So what are they testifying? That Reuven should get Malkus. Then two witnesses come and say, how could you two testify, Reuven ate chazer, you were with us in Hawaii. Yeah? So the din is, if Reuven got Malkus already, you don't give Malkus to the witnesses. If Reuven didn't get whipped yet, then you whip the witnesses. But if Reuven got whipped yet, then you don't do it to the witnesses. Right. So it's again, where do we learn this out from? Because it says, Rasha, Rasha. Because by murder, the Torah uses the word Rasha, and by Malkus, the Torah uses the word Rasha. So we learn out Malkus from death. Just like by death, if he was killed already, you don't kill him. And if there was no verdict yet, you don't kill the witnesses. The same thing by Malchus. We learn out Malchus from death, that if the guy got Malchus already, you don't do it to the witnesses. Plus, if the word knows no verdict yet, you also don't give it to the witnesses.
I need to have a clear pasuk when it comes to punishment.
Yeah, but this is called a clear pasuk. That's the concept. Gzeira Shava, like here it says Russia, there it says Russia. We can't make that up ourselves. That was given Allah HaMashiach Mesinai, because if not, here you have Vayomer, here you have Vayomer, here you have Hashem HaMashiach. I mean, you make the whole title one big mishmash. Gzeira Shava means here's a word, there's a word, that cannot be derived just by anybody. That has to be taught from Har Sinai. So if Hashem says, Russia, Russia, you learn out Malchus from death, all the dinim of death apply to Malchus. Obviously not death, because you get Malchus. But just like by Malchus, for instance, you need X amount of Bezdin. By Malchus you need, by Edom Zaymimim, that the guy didn't get the Malchus yet. Secondly, that there was a verdict. Then you could learn out. Kal v'chomer, that's logic. Logic can't make a punishment.
So only Malchus is like death?
You well, no, the Gemara is going to get to Golius also. Mm-hmm.
So when you say punishment, that means only, you know, killing somebody, or you're talking about monetary things too?
Monetary everything.
Everything.
But
you don't let out Calvary for monetary.
For monetary things you could, not for punishment. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because punishment is a kapara.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The thing that you just said, that you can't just make up the...
Xerah Shava.
Yeah. Does that also apply that making up the Zaro?
All those things we have to, we can't make it up ourselves. Like I said, here it says Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemer. Here it says Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemer. You can't compare two dinim because it's a Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemer. Because Hashem didn't say in Har Sinai that you could do it. I'll give you another example of a Gzeirah Shavah that which we all know of. By Sukkot it says the 15th of the month. By Pesach it says the 15th of the month. The Gemara learns out a lot of dinim from Pesach and from Sukkot, and Sukkot from Pesach. One simple din I'll give you. Pesach matzah, the Torah says you have to eat a balayla. Balayla hazeh. Right? So if you want to bring Pesach in early, you can't. Like this Shabbos you can bring in early, right? The summer, people bring Shabbos in early. You can bring the Yom Tov in early, but you can't eat matzah early. Why? Because the Torah says balayla hazeh. Yeah, the Gemara says the same thing as sukkah. You can bring sukkahs in early, but you can't eat in the sukkah early. Where do we learn out from by sukkah? It doesn't say balayla. Where do we learn out sukkah? We learn out sukkahs in Pesach because sukkah says chamisha asar. The 15th, and by Pesach it says Chamisha Asar. So Meshach Rabbeinu said at Har Sinai, those two words are the same. You learn out one from the next. In fact, the Gemara, in fact, even asks a question based on the Gzeirah Shavah that we should eat matzah and sukkahs, and Pesach we should eat in the sukkah. If we're comparing Pesach to sukkahs, so why don't you compare it completely? Mm-hmm. The Gemara asks a question. Oh. If there's a Gzeirah Shavah from Pesach to Sukkot, that you learn out that you have to do it at night, so why don't we eat matzah in the Sukkot and eat the Sukkot in Pesach?
Right.
And the Gemara answer is there's limudim that teaches no, dafka Sukkot and dafka matzah, you know, but certain dinim we learn out that you have to learn out dafka at night, l'mashu. So here it says Rosh by Malchus, here it says Rosh by murder, so we learn out the same dinim. And now the Gemara Taka asks, Chayv Golus Minayin. How do I know by Golus the same rule applies? So he says, Asir Ritzeach Ritzeach. By murder it says Ritzeach, and by Golus, accidentally killing, it says Ritzeach. So again, the same thing, we learn that one from the next. Okay? Now the Gemara says, Tanya, Amr Reb Yehuda ben Tabai. This is a very interesting Gemara. Reb Yehuda ben Tabai was the partner of Reb Shimon ben Shatach. Yeah? Reb Yehuda ben Tabai said, Ere ben Echama, I'll seek consolation. Im le'arakti eid zeymim. That I killed an eid zeymim. Reb Yehuda ben Tabai said, thank God, I disproved the tzedukim, and I killed an eid zeymim. Why? Shahoyu aimim, they used to say, Eino eidim zeymim nerogim achi yorig anidin. The tzedukim said, the only time you killed eidim zeymim is if Reuven actually was killed already by Bezdin. And I proved them wrong. And I killed an individual eid zeymim. What was the case that Reuven ben Tabai? Yeah. Reuven ben Tabai killed one of the two. Why can't you do that?
Because you're not allowed to make one eid okay. False until...
That's exactly what Shimon Shatach is going to tell him. Yehuda ben Tabai didn't know that. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai thought, if there's two witnesses, and I say to one of them, you were with me in Hawaii, that one you killed, not the other one. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai said, look how great I am, I disproved the tzedukim, and I killed an eid zeymim. Amalei Shimon Shatach, so Reb Shimon Shatach said to him, Ereb Nechom le shefachta dam noki, you killed an innocent person. Shimon Shatach said to him, you killed an innocent person. About 10 lines before the bottom Mishnah. Obviously he is Bezdin and killed him. He was ahead of the Bezdin. And he didn't know the halacha.
One minute.
Shayam Chachamim, so Shimon ben Shatach said to Rabbi ben Tabai, the Chachamim said clearly, Ein Eidim Zeimim in Nerogim, Achi Yizum Shnehem. You have to disqualify both of the witnesses, not one of the group. And Ein Leikim, Achi Yizum Shnehem. And you don't become Eidim Zeimim in to give him Malkus until you do both. Like you said, the Eidim Zeimim, you have to disqualify both witnesses. And the Rebbe ben Tabai said, I disqualified one, and I did it. So the Gemara says, Miyad, immediately, Kibul Olav Rebbe ben Tabai admitted his mistake, and he accepted upon himself, he'll never rule a legal decision without Shimon ben Shatach there. He realized he'd killed an innocent person. He said, I swear I will never make a ruling. And he didn't. Unless Shimon ben Shatach is there. And the Gemara tells not only that. Yehuda ben Tabai constantly went to the grave of the innocent person he killed. Okay? He always went to the grave. And people heard a voice. And as Rashi explains, it was at night, they couldn't see whose voice it was. They couldn't hear. They didn't know who it was. The people thought it was Kele Shel Haruk, the voice of the witness that he didn't forgive Reb Yehuda ben Tabai yet. Reb Yehuda ben Tabai said, no, it's Kele Shelihu. It's my voice, not his. I'm crying for Kapara. Tato, I'll even prove it to you. L'machar humes, he said to himself, tomorrow I'm going to die, and you'll see Ein Kele Nishma. You won't hear this voice anymore. So Reb Yehuda ben Tabai said, he went to his grave and he used to cry there, and it was such a strange voice that the people thought it was a dead body's voice. But Reb Yehuda ben Tabai said, no, it's my voice. Trying to get kapara.
What's
Chassid
say about this?
Let's just finish the Mishnah. So the question is, just because Reb Yehuda ben Tabai died, doesn't mean it was his voice. Why? Maybe Yehuda ben Tabai came up to heaven and he appeased the guy, and that's why the guy started screaming. Just because he died, it doesn't mean it wasn't the guy's voice. Dilma Dina Bekam Madei, maybe Yehuda ben Tabai settled his claim in court, or Inami Paisim Paisui, he appeased him, and therefore it's possible that it really originally was the voice of the dead guy. So Yehuda ben Tabai is not really saying a good proof. The question over here is, like the Ritva explains, it wasn't that they doubted Rabbi Yehuda Metabi. He said it was his voice. It was his voice. But his proof is not a proof, though. That's what they're saying. Rabbi Yehuda Metabi said it's my voice. For sure. It was his voice. He's lying. The Gemara is just saying that the proof he gave, that because when he died the voice would stop, doesn't mean it wasn't the dead person's voice. Maybe he went up to heaven and he appeased the guy. Mm-hmm. Now what do you want to know about the Siddur over here?
How could it have the Bezin kill someone innocently? So obviously
that person was supposed to die.
Why is he so sad?
Because the pill, he did it on a wrong basis.
Head of the Bezin could make such a mistake?
Didn't have to come through him.
it came through him, and he made a mistake. That's what he said. He made a mistake. Obviously, the Gemara. You know what? Why is the Gemara telling us a story?
Don't be too naughty.
Yeah. Number one, you can make a mistake. Even you'd have been top and made a mistake. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? A person shouldn't. But basically, there's no question. Yehuda ben Tabai and Shimon ben Shatach, Yehuda ben Tabai was on a higher level than Shimon ben Shatach. If you look in the Mishnah, in the Pirkei Avos, the first one was the Nasi, the second was the Av Bez. The Nasi was greater than the Av Bez. Yehuda ben Tabai and Shimon ben Shatach, it says in Pirkei Avos. So Yehuda ben Tabai was really greater than Shimon ben Shatach. Okay? So obviously he was a great tzaddik. I mean, you're talking about the earlier Tanoim. This is before Hillel and Shammah even. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking about unbelievably great people. So there's no question that Hashem wanted that the person should die. Hashem's not going to let Yehuda ben Tabai kill an innocent person, that's for sure. But Yehuda ben Tabai did it, from his perspective, he made a mistake in what he did. That's what bothered him. Mm-hmm. That the guy was supposed to die, he was supposed to die. Bezin wouldn't kill him otherwise. Mm-hmm. But Yehuda ben Tabai did it on a premise which was against halacha. Mm-hmm. That's no good. What? It doesn't say here he brought a carbon. He basically did tshuva. He begged the guy forgiveness. Yeah, but you see, why didn't he have to run to Ari Miklat? If he killed him accidentally. So you see from here that it's not considered accidentally because Bezdin killed him. I'll give you an example. According to Halacha, before a guy gets Malkus, doctors evaluate how many he can get. Yeah, so what happens is the doctor said he can get 20, and the guy whipped him, and when he gave him 15, the guy died. He killed the guy accidentally. Yeah, he's not chayiv misa. He doesn't even have to go into the Ari Miklat because he did it with permission. If Bezin said 15, and the doctor said 15, and he gave him 16, and he died, then he's chayiv misa, or whatever. So the fact that Bezdin said he gets killed, and this, you see, an interesting point. Yehuda ben Tabai didn't go to Ari Miklat. I don't know if there were Ari Miklat at that time, but Lepel, he didn't go to Ari Miklat. Why didn't he go to Ari Miklat? Because Bezdin killed him. It's not Shagig. Okay.